the Sopranos. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have everyone here this morning. Now, is this the drums? Well, God bless you. I finally get to meet you. Good to have you in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you just sing extra loud over there. Amen. Well, I'd like to greet you all and those joining us online. God bless you. It's really good to have you with us this evening. I'm looking forward to a wonderful time in His presence. Always at home, I always call this night family night. Just always family. And I just feel like just family coming around the table and just breaking the word. So I look forward to what the Lord has put on Brother Barry's heart. And I know my heart is looking forward to tonight. I pulled one on Sister Julia. We're going to try this. Number 324, ready to leave. Some folks are building hopes down here and planning ahead. So busy with their fortunes, they forgot what Jesus said about the wars and earthquakes, the fig trees budding leaves. But there's a group of people getting ready to leave. Oh, ready to leave in a twinkling of an eye. Making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Oh, are you in that number getting ready to leave? Oh, sinner, what's the reason for your needless delay? Give me that old-time religion. 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 And it's good enough. Sing it again. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that.
Enough for me.
am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Hallelujah, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Hallelujah, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Hallelujah, I am. Sing it again. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I, one last time, well, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. For I have been redeemed. I've been redeemed by love divine.
Aren't you thankful you're redeemed this morning or this evening? Amen. Isn't he wonderful? His grace is more than sufficient. Amen. We're going to go to a prayer. Chris, if you'd come, let's open the service in a word of prayer. We want to remember the Hughes tonight, not here. Brother John Hardwell, not here as well. And we have a number of special requests that just haven't been made known here, but they just asked for, just remember them. If you have a need on your heart, I want to thank you for the brothers that prayed for my co-worker, Charles Byers. He's going through a rough time now, the losing of his son. But just sharing with Chris, he asked me how things were going. And I had just arrived at the hospital because I got word. So being his boss, I wanted to make sure he was all right. So I whipped to the hospital and I asked the lady up front, I said, did he come through here? He says, yeah. And they let me, he's in the family room. So I was going through the family room. To the family room, he was just sobbing. He was the only one in there. And I walked in. He says, my boy's dead. My boy's dead. And I just want to see my boy. And he just collapsed in my arms. And I just held on to him. And just let him cry. And come to find out, he called work the next day. And he was talking to our HR department. He said, I was ready to die. I was ready to kill myself. Then Jason walked through the door. We don't know what our testimony is going to be. Reason we, you know, why we just act on what we act upon. So it was something special for me because I just felt I need to go, I need to be there. Because it's just something I call the three fish way, is we're family and we treat each other as such. And being my co-worker and my employee, you just don't know what your testimony is going to say to somebody. So we just want to remember him in prayer. remember his family, loss of a loved one. And if you have a need, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father. Chris, if you'd come.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to you as we gather here tonight. Lord, we've all had long weeks, and we just want to take a moment to pause tonight to tell you how thankful we really are, how much we love you. And Lord, as we're gathered here tonight, we've heard some of the requests that have been put forth before the people. Lord, there's many unspoken requests. Lord, my heart goes out especially to this co-worker of our brother Jason, Lord. And Lord, just ask that you would be with each need that's been lifted up tonight. Lord, we really don't know what the person beside us is necessarily going through, Lord, but we know that, as your word says, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord. Lord, we believe that as Christians, there's no such thing as coincidence, and so whatever we're going through has a purpose, and Lord, we lay that at the foot of your throne tonight and just ask that you'd have your perfect way in each of our lives. Father, we ask you to be with Brother Barry as he's prepared for the service tonight. Lord, draw us closer to you as our prayer and our desire. Lord, we thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Seated. Amen. God bless you again. Greet you all. And if you've joined us a little late, God bless you. It's good to have you joining us online. And I just trust you feel his presence this evening. Amen. I know I throw a lot of new songs at you guys. I look at each and every one of you. But I like to sing just an old hymn, The Great Emancipator. I'm sure we all know it.
Once my heart and soul were fettered by the binding chains of sin, but the great Emancipator, he set me free to worship him.
Turn in the service of Brother Barry as he comes. Put him in the key of C.
Oh Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh Lord, Lord. was lost, surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Brother Keith Buchanan sends his regards tonight. He's doing well. He's thankful to be home. They've got him doing some physical therapy, so he's active. And we appreciate that very much. Lord willing, we may see him on Sunday. Lord willing. So we're just going to trust that he feels good enough to do that. Awfully good to see the drums here tonight. May God bless you both. Really appreciate you being here. Brother Aaron Nengamaza leaves tomorrow for England for ministry over there. And he's just getting ready tonight to go. The other thing is, too, if you never saw the update, Brother Yashua got his green card and successfully went through the process. And at the end of the interview, the interviewer, who would be a federal agent, as I did the same thing, said to them, "You have restored my faith in mankind. Because everything you said on the application is all absolutely true." And they showed him the picture of Amran and their daughter, because there's a lot of people who just get married to bring someone into the country and then they divorce and go on their way. But they're obviously a family. And the man was so thankful for that. And he said, "You've restored my faith in mankind." Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight to be able to sing your praises, Lord, and to thank you for all the good things you do for us. We are undeserving of your mercies, which are new every day. And Lord, they don't run out. They are inexhaustible, as your prophet described. Now, Lord, tonight, take this group of people, I pray. And Lord, may we surrender ourselves to the place of just opening our hearts and minds to receive from you. And Lord, I pray that you would allow me just to step back now, that you can step forward and minister the word to our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, of our busyness. Forgive us, Lord, of anything that might be contrary to the holiness of God in our lives. And I pray, dear God, you'd meet every need, touch every heart. And we want to say thank you for answered prayer. We love you and appreciate you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take your Bibles, if you will. Let's go right to the Word this evening. And we'll take a text there tonight. I've got a couple here. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And let's start there tonight. Romans, the 12th chapter. You don't really need to turn to this one. It's so common for us. Romans chapter 12. Very often when people outside the church, they present me with a need, they'll say, "Hey, if you don't mind, remember me when you pray." I always ask them, "Is it all right if I tell my church that?" Because our church are a praying people. And they said, "No, that'd be great." So I appreciate that. I believe the drums being here is an answer to prayer. Look at old Wells down there. It's an answer to prayer. And Brother John, Brother Keith, and we're just so thankful. And sometimes God answers quickly, sometimes he doesn't, but that's not under our control at all. It's under his control. And so we're just placing these things in his hands with Brother John's request and just so many different others. Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated tonight. Sister Rachel Coffey is also not here tonight. We've got a number of folks that are missing. And can we pull up our PowerPoint there, if that'll be all right? I wanted to say this, that, and I am conveying this to our brethren over in Ukraine, that our support and our concern for the people of Ukraine has nothing to do with politics. And so, therefore, we continue to support and send funds and help the believers in Ukraine in any way we possibly can. And we do that by the grace of God so that, you know, they can make it through the harsh winters and the harsh conditions that that they have. And so we are doing that with all of our heart. So, all right. We're pulling up the PowerPoint here. All right, here's what we're going to do. Brother Henry, I need you to go in my office and unplug my laptop and bring it to your uncle down in the booth. Here we go. All right, Henry, we're good. You'll get your reward anyway. If I was a young person in the message today, I'd spend time finding and knowing how to find the perfect will of God. Now, that's why we read in Romans chapter 12, talking about the perfect will of God. But I want to divert. I've talked about this a lot. I've talked about the will of God, finding the will of God. We've done it in different ways, and I want to include that because when I got into broken cisterns, the text is out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah has some really great things to say about the will of God and some instances there, and I brought you some before. In Jeremiah chapter 29, that's where he says to the people, I know the thoughts I have concerning you, thoughts of good, not of evil, right? You remember that? And, you know, there's a lot of inspiration in the book of Jeremiah in relation to knowing the will of God, because they were right at this important junction where they were going down in the captivity. Nebuchadnezzar and the armies there were taken Israel captive, and Jeremiah stayed, and you know there was a remnant that stayed, and there was constantly decisions that were being made there. So Jeremiah, being the sensitive man that he was, you know, he was also called a weeping prophet. He was very sensitive to what God wanted him to say, what he wanted to say to the people about their direction and so forth. And so there's a lot of good material in the book of Jeremiah in relation to that. So I've been studying on that. Now, you cannot take God and put him in a box and just assume that one answer applies to everybody when it comes to the will of God. When you look at, you know, our church, we have all different age groups. We have all different stations in life. We all have all different callings, right? Some of you are called to be good grandparents at this point. Some of you are called to be good parents of teenagers, and we pray extra for you folks. Some people are called to be, you know, starting families and, you know, in that early process. Some of you are still single by the grace of God. And so, you know, when it comes to the will of God, these are general things, but you gotta place them and apply them in your own life. But tonight, listen, tonight what I want to do, and I hope you're over the jet lag for the 1 hour thing. Our clock is correct. What I want to do is talk a little bit about a subject I have never spoken about in this church or any church, and that has to do with the permissive will of God. The best way for me to deal with the permissive will of God is to use examples that are found in the ministry of Brother Branham and also in the Bible. And that's the best way to explain the permissive will of God, okay? So if you've never heard the term or you don't know really what it means or what it implies, hold on, you're in the right place. But like I say, you cannot confine God or bottle him or say, this is the rule concerning the will of God, because this is a personal thing that goes on in everybody's life. It's a renewing of your mind. It's a renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, there are some things that we know are the will of God for everybody, right? You should go to church. Somebody say amen. Amen. You should pay your tithes, right? You should be as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men and women. And, you know, there are some things that are universal principles and concepts that we all apply. But for instance, you know, Brother Sean is moving in an occupational direction, right? That's different than Sam's direction. But you both can be in the will of God. You both can be right. Brother John over here, he's got his hands on the steering wheel and, you know, getting ready to change. I could go around the room, and there's lots of different things that people are thinking about, people are doing, people are making changes about. It's all natural and normal. In our world, it's stamped with change and decay over everything. But remember, you can't just put God in a box and say, this is the hard and fast rule about the will of God, and this is the way it is for everybody. You really can't do that, right? People who are called in ministry have a completely different way of dealing with the will of God. It reminds me of a story of a little girl who asked her mother one time. She said, is God everywhere? And she said, well, yes, God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Okay, she said. Come back a few minutes later, she said, if that's true, is God in the kitchen? And she said, mother looked at her and said, yeah, necessarily then she'd be in the kitchen too. And it was an open, she was doing herself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and she had the jelly jar open, and she said, well, does that mean that God's in the jar? And the mother, not knowing where this is going, she said, well, yes, I guess he'd be in the jar too. And she goes like this. She takes the lid and got him. You can't confine God. People want to. They want to put God in kind of a cookie cutter kind of a setting. And that's not how it works. Because what God may tell you about what he wants you to do may be altered later on, right? He's not going to change the Bible. He's not going to change his mind about his word, but he is going to direct you in different ways, right? He's going to tell you different things, different times. So you have to be sensitive to that and flexible about that. No matter what the rest of the world has got to do, that has not one thing with you or I. What people in the world do has nothing to do with us. We are responsible to God for our lives and for our experience with Christ. So you can put your name in there, okay? We are responsible to God for Barry Coffee's life and for Barry Coffee and my experience with Christ. So that's what we have to do. And in other words, what we're not following is what everybody else does, right? Very simple. We're not following what anyone else does. Now, let me give you a couple of warm-up statements here. Brother Bram says, now, any move from that original plan of God, the original plan of God, kind of like the Garden of Eden there, was not God's original plan. He says, we can't move from that original word. And we talked on it last evening on Balaam. And he got God's answer straight and clear, don't go. Lord, shall I go and curse Israel? Don't go. But he had the permissive will, and you can work in that if you wish to. And God will make it honor him, but it's still not God's perfect will. And that's what we should strive for, his perfect will, not his permissive will. Now, I don't want you to anybody to walk away and say, oh, well, you know what? If I'm not in his perfect will, I'll be in a permissive will, and God will make it work out anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm telling you it matters. And you'll see as we go on here. So don't want anybody to leave with the idea that, oh, well, one will or the other, I'm still in the will of God. Don't go there. Okay? The kingdom of God, which is in the earth today, can never be set up justly or properly on the permissive will. It's got to come back to his perfect will. You know, they're all kind. I'm so thankful. The further I go on, I'm thankful for the fact that we have an absolute in terms of the Word of God. I'm so thankful for that because it's not left up to interpretation, right? Some people, you know, you hear people say, oh, well, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. Oh, yeah? Show me that in the Bible. Or let me ask you another way. Let me say it another way. Who does God send to hell? The sin or the sinner? Huh? And everybody goes, huh? So you had to be careful that we don't adopt denominational type phrases that are used for evangelism and make them sound like the Word of God. Now, I believe, hey, listen, I was a sinner, but saved by the grace of God when I accepted the sacrifice. Right? So we had to be careful now, and watch what Brother Branham says. Again, another statement here, just as an intro. We believe that God never changes his mind about what he said, but he has a permissive will. Now, there's where the trouble lays. And we try to work on God's permissive will. He will permit it, but if we take his permissive will, though it's not right, he will make his permissive will to work out to glorify his perfect will. Because there's nothing will go wrong with God. Now, God's way of thinking is perfect, right? His word is perfect. Everybody say amen. Amen. And he knows just where the clock's ticking at tonight, and we think it's wrong, but he knows it's right. It's supposed to be like this. Like at the beginning, God just permitted sin to come, but that was not his perfect will. So there's things that God allows. There's things that God permits here. So immediately, I've set you up with a challenge here, because now you're sitting there thinking, okay, I did this. I married this guy sitting next to me. Was that the will of God or the permissive will of God? We're not going to try to sort all that out, because I don't know. I've only got a limited amount of time. Now, God speaks to us in different ways, right? God speaks to us through a variety of means. He can speak to you in a service, through a ministry. He can speak to you when you read your Bible. He can speak to you when you listen to a sermon, right? He can speak to you in fellowship. He can speak to you in a dream. God has different ways of speaking, but he also uses what's called similitudes. Everybody say it. Similitudes. Thank you for the effort. In Hosea chapter 12 and verse 9, sorry, there's not much margin on the left side. I don't know what happened there. I'll get that back. God said, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God. Hey. I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Now, I don't know that I've ever had a similitude event happen to me, but a similitude is something that God impresses on a person that is not really a vision, it's not a dream, but it's just God's way of impressing somebody to the point where they actually kind of see something and it looks very, very real. Now, let me give you an example. Sorry. Brother Branham is on his way back from Canada. He's up there visiting with Brother Fred Softman, and he's down near Helena, Montana. And he's driving down the road. He's bringing a vehicle back, and he and Billy Paul are in the car. And Brother Branham is wrestling. He's wrestling because in this particular sermon, Standing in the Gap, he's wrestling about whether he should continue in the ministry he has, or is God wanting him to do something else. And he's wrestling because there's a lot of people who are disregarding. They're disrespecting his ministry, not listening. He said, go across the country and preach it. I come back a year later and they're worse. And after a while, like any minister would, this gets to Brother Branham, and he's thinking about other things. He's thinking about going into full-time work. He's thinking about leaving his home and going and being a trapper. You remember, that's when he says, to my way of thinking, he said, I'd be a trapper and go off and live in a cabin in the woods and just hunt for my livelihood. And then when God speaks to me like Elijah, I'd storm out of the wilderness and come down and say, thus saith the Lord, and say what I need to say, and then go back to my cabin again and be alone. Now, to Brother Branham's way of thinking, with the spirit of Elijah, he thinks that's a good plan. He's not sure he can pull it off, but he thinks that's a good plan. So in this restaurant that they stop at, they're pretty tired, and Brother Ram liked to drive at nighttime, and so it's early morning, and they're in a restaurant, just a kind of a mom-and-pop diner, and they're sitting there, and as they do it, Brother Branham says, and I sat there a little bit, and Billy looked up at me and kept on eating his pancakes, and I was finished mine. And a few minutes, a man got up, just looked exactly like my profile, about 75 years old little fella, and his clothes were ragged, and the buddy that got up with him was Fletcher Broy. Now, that's his brother-in-law. That's Brother Branham's brother-in-law. And he was known to be a drinker and so forth, gray hair hanging down in his face. And so he's looking. Now, this is obviously not real because it's not Brother Branham and Fletcher Broy, But he's having a moment here where he's getting an answer to prayer. All right, God's telling him something. This is what's called a similitude. Now watch now what happens. Billy looked around and said, "Daddy, that looks like you and Fletcher." Now you can imagine how I felt. I knew this sounds neurotic. In other words, this is what I'm seeing here. And he said, "Man alive, imagine now." He's praying about doing this, and then he sees himself and Fletcher in the restaurant. And he's thinking, no one's saying a word. But he's thinking this, and a voice got to talking. He gets up with Billy Paul, I'll fill in the gaps, pardon the pun. He gets up, he goes out of the restaurant, gets in the car. Billy Paul says, "I'm still tired, is it all right if you drive?" And Brother Branham says, "That's fine." So he gets in the car, Billy Paul lays out, goes to sleep. So now it's just Brother Branham, and he's talking to God. And a voice got to talking to me, and I was talking to him. And it said, "Carry out your plans, and you'll be just like that." And I said, "Lord, I didn't want to be like that." Now he's by himself, right? He's by himself. But this is so real because this is how God deals with a prophet. And what we're looking at in Brother Branham's life, we're very privileged to be able to look at how God deals with a prophet personally. We've never had this through the ages, right? Through the Bible, we never had this. But we've got this now because Brother Branham's telling everything in these sermons and these experiences that he's had. So we're getting this inside window into how God's dealing with his prophet. And here's Brother Branham sitting in the front seat by himself. He's driving the car and he's talking to God. It's just as real as if God's sitting there in the seat. And he said, "Lord, I don't want to be like that." He said, "Your wife will go too," is what God said to him. "Your wife will leave you too. She won't live up there in them hills like that. And you'll become a bum just as the dream showed you would." And Brother Branham said, "I don't want to be that. I want to do something different. But I was told that you had called me to be a prophet, and I want to live in the wilderness like a prophet. In other words, I want to be like John the Baptist. I want to be like Elijah. I want to live out there in the wilderness. But I was using my own excuse so I could hunt." Aha. I was using my own excuse. So in other words, there's two wills at work here, right? God's got a will, and he's got a will. He's got a desire. And he said, "But that was the prophets of the Old Testament." This is what God said to him. "That was the prophets of the Old Testament. You've been called to be there in a much higher office than that." And he said, "You've got more gifts besides that." Because remember now, here's a man who's going to be used to set forth all of the loose ends of the entire Bible into a message that God packaged and handed to us. Amen. Somebody ought to say, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm glad I'm here." Amen. I will tell you that he was used of God to bring all of those loose ends together, and not only to do that, but to have the gifts that he had, and the ministry that he had, and the discernment that he had, and the healing that he had, but yet to have insight into the Word of God like he did. He was like nobody else, really, no other prophet that walked on earth. I mean, it was pretty extraordinary. But now, this is a kind of experience, and what's really interesting to me is that God is not forcing Brother Branham saying, "Don't do it. Don't do it." He's just saying, "If you do it, you'll turn out like that. And if you do it, your wife will leave you." And God's impressing him with the reality of the decision that he could possibly make here. And so God is dealing with him like he deals with the prophets in this idea of a similitude. And like I say, I don't know that I've ever had a similitude. I tried to recall one today and I could not. But either way, it is such a vivid impression that it's as real as if it was actually happening. And so the best example I could find was this one right here. There are other places in the scripture. Now, so we take it in the New Testament, and Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," around, and spectacle. Two words, it's a compound word. So you want to look all around when you're walking, as a Christian today. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I will guarantee you that the will of God does not come in a snap. And the will of God doesn't come for your whole life. It only comes a little session at a time, sometimes only a step at a time. And I will tell you this, that the will of God comes to people who are thinking spiritually. You need to be thinking spiritually in order to know and understand the will of God. Because when you try to mentally, intellectually sort it out, this is what it looks like. You're going to come to a place where the path is not clear. So therefore, we have this promise, and I need you to hold on to this promise. Jesus knew what the Father's will was, and if we will seek God, God will make known His will. Hello? If you seek God, God will make known His will. What a privilege to find our place and thereby. What a privilege. So if we seek Him, then Jesus came is the name of the service. Jesus knew what the Father's will was, and if we will seek God, now Jesus' will was different than our will, and the path that He had to walk on was different than the one that we are on, but if we will seek God, then God will make known His will for us. Now, watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, great chapter. For what man knoweth, and this is a great I say it's a great chapter, and there's no ungreat chapters, but this is one that really God used to bring me into the faith, and so it's special to me. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Do you ever talk to Brother Sam over here about cars? Right? You talk to Sam about cars, or talk to Brother Pugh over here about paint. And they'll talk on levels and in depth of things that you realize pretty soon, I think I'm going to leave the repairs to Sam and not mess with this. Because that's, you know, people who are trained in a certain thing, they have a language and they have a knowledge and they have an insight into things, right? Talk to Lucas over here about computers and programming, right? And, you know, some of you different, the AC people that are here, you know, the heating and cooling people and all, they've got a... This is what Paul is saying, that a man has a spirit about him. They're trained in that. It's a passion for them. And they know things about that that most people don't know. Well, he's taken that and saying, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So I will guarantee you that I could take a lot of you young people and stand you up against people out in denominations. Not that we would ever do this. But your insight into the Word of God is superior to a lot of people in the world because they never hear the things that you hear. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually known. So you can know about God, you can know about Brother Branham, you can know about the message and so forth, and you can have an awareness of all that. Historically, you might be able to put it all on a timeline and make it all kind of come out right. But in order really to know God and to know His will, there are things that you're going to have to spiritually discern. You're going to have to be in the Spirit to know that. Now look, let me just say this. There are things you're going to need to know about yourself before you go. Because there's things about you that you're going to have to change. Hey, I'm saying this as your pastor. And as I say this, the words are flying right back at me as well. There's things about all of us that we need to change. But I will guarantee you that 99% of you feel like, hey, what I'm doing is okay compared to everybody else. I mean, the way I am is pretty good. But I will guarantee you that we do not see ourselves the way God sees us. And I could preach all I want to. Let's just say pride. I could talk about pride. And I could say, well, you know, there are people here who don't do good in relationships because eventually all the relationships they're involved in break up and they're, you know, they don't work and the blame is always to the other person. And they don't last on a job because it's that stupid boss that I have and everything else. And they can think they're justified and they're right. And I will tell you something, it takes a spiritual person to look into the mirror and say, maybe there's something wrong with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's spiritual discernment. And if you can exercise spiritual discernment on yourself, let me tell you, you're way ahead of the game. Because there are some things that you're sitting there doing and the way you're thinking is very normal and natural to you, but in the eyes of God, it's probably not the same thing. And you should pray and say, Lord, help me see me like you see me. And I know I'm saved and under the blood and all the rest of it, but Lord, I don't want to have characteristics that are unacceptable throughout eternity. If there's anything, if you see any wicked way in me, Lord, purge it now. But the only way it's ever going to come is not because Brother Barry gets up there and blasts it. It's because something in you awakens to the fact that I need to be better. I can do better than that. The natural man doesn't receive the things that are from the Spirit of God because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And so, therefore, there has to be a sense of spirituality to know the will of God and to be able to know and understand what God really wants. Now, the easy road is not always the best road. The best road is to find the will of God and travel it. Because the will of God is not always sensible. It's not always, it doesn't always just kind of make sense. Like walking around a wall with blowing trumpets and candles and then hope the wall falls down, right? Or building an ark when it's never rained. You're building a waterproof boat when it doesn't rain. It doesn't always make sense. But the best thing to do is to find the will of God and travel that, the best road, and find the will of God no matter how hard it is, and just raise up your hand and say, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I'm doing this only because I know it's God's will. And you have, in order to really have that conviction, you need to be spiritual enough to seek God's will and have him confirm that, and then pursue it with all your might, right? I mean, look at all the examples in the scripture, like Gideon. They're outnumbered. Everything is going against them. These Philistines are just whooping the tar out of Israel, and he's hiding. And God looks at him as a man of valor, says, come on out. We're going to take care of these Philistines here. There's a dream, and then there's the candles, and my goodness, that's not how battles are won, but that's how that battle was won. Because he walked in the will of God, right? Are we okay? All right. Now let's look at a couple of examples. Now, Brother Graham said that God permitted Israel to take a law, Exodus 19, when grace had already been given them a prophet, pillar of fire, sacrificial lamb, and delivering power. But they cried out for a law. Remember that? You remember the story in the book of Exodus when, God came down on the mountain and the people said, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to get up in God's presence here. Let the prophet go up and hear from God and have him come down and speak to you. That was not God's intention. But that's how it turned out. It wasn't God's will, but it was injected because man wanted to do it. All right. And so here's the consequence. If you don't want to have God come down in the service and speak to you directly, then you know what? You're stuck with me. You're stuck with the fivefold ministry. You're stuck with a prophet, right? And that's the way that the people chose it back then. And God said, all right, if you want to do that. But what he's also saying here, and you need to understand, that look, you got to understand that what Moses is saying to you is what I'm whispering into his ear. So it's just like I'm telling you, Moses is not making up this stuff. I'm telling him what to say. It's just that I'm not standing there, with fire and thunder and lightning all around me. But Moses is the voice of God to you at this particular time. Remember? And he had to put the veil over his face and all of that. And that's the way that it was. So the people had to recognize that truly was God speaking through that vessel to them. Right? So it didn't mean that they glorified Moses. It's just that they had to find the orientation of the voice. They had to find the origin of where that voice was coming from. And if they recognized that was God, they were doing good. Now watch now. And he was cursed by the very law that he wanted, and it's best to have God's will. That's what he taught us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we must submit ourselves to his will and to his word. We must submit ourselves to his will and to his word. I had a good friend ask me yesterday about what do you say to a person who wants to be baptized but doesn't want to surrender their life to Christ? I said, run that by me again. They want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't want to surrender. I said, so they just want an insurance policy. And they can say that, well, I've been baptized, so I checked the box, I've got that done, but I don't want to surrender my life to him. I want to make decisions and I want to do things in my own way. I said, wow, that's an oxymoronic statement, because you can't have that. Because what God wants first, even to the place where you'd say, it's better for you to be submissive and totally surrendered to Christ, even if you weren't baptized, like the thief on the cross, right? And I said, if you go back in Isaiah 62, The Bible says that God delights in a humble and contrite spirit. That's what he desires. And I said, you really can't have one without the other. And I said, I'm not even sure. I don't think I'd baptize somebody who had that kind of an attitude, because they're not really doing it for the right reason, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'd keep my commandments. So there's something missing, in other words. And I would be working with that person to find out if we can help restore what's missing there. So he says we must submit ourselves to his will and to his word. And don't question it, but believe it. Don't try to find a way around it. Just take it the way it is. And so many wants to go around and get some other way. This is important here now. When you do find yourself going on, find God blessing you, and you're working in his permissive will and not in his perfect divine will. Because God will bless in the permissive will of God. He permits it, but he will not let it be his perfect will. Childbearing by sex in the Garden of Eden is one of those things. Ha ha. All right. Let's take a couple of examples here, all right? Number one. This is Brother Branham in South Africa. And this is the story. There's lots of statements now about this. But this is the time when Brother Branham goes and the ministers over there told him it was going to be one way. We're going to have an itinerary, go here, Durban, Cape Town, and go to these different towns and hold the meetings. And that was the itinerary that Brother Branham had in his mind, and that was what he was led to do. But when he got there, the Ministerial Association said, well, we can't go into that area because there are blacks over there and there are coloreds over here, mixed race. And so we're going to change the itinerary, and we're going to go here, 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 here. And Brother Branham said, no, that's not the way that it's supposed to be. And they talked Brother Branham into doing that new pathway. And they did it out of prejudice. They did it out of preserving their own ministries. And they talked Brother Branham into doing that. And Brother Branham's caught in a trap. And God says this to him, you're caught in a trap. And that's when Brother Branham was driving down the road and he says, stop the car. He gets out, takes the eucalyptus leaves off the tree, remember? And he sprinkles it over the feet of the ministers there. And he says, God wants me to go on, but he says, we'll pay for this. And he goes on. And I mean, it must have been a sobering thing now for him. Now, let me just recap a little bit here, as I want you to catch some of his words now, right? Now, he's in a classic trap. You don't trap prophets too often. Brother Bosworth, as long as I've been with you and you've seen these visions and seen how things come to pass, I tell you now, in the name of the Lord, that it's not God's will for us to do that. We'll go to Durban, we're not to Cape Town, 15,000 miles away from home. God, what can I do? And somebody said to him, as he's in a room with a bunch of ministers, and somebody said, well, could it then be the permissive will of God? And I said, God might permit it, but it ain't his will. And then one of the ministers says, well, go ask him. Imagine. Go ask God if we can carry on in his permissive will, if that's what you call it. And I walked in the room, and Brother Bam said, me and Billy Paul were in the same room. He's still a young guy. And they're just sleeping in the same room. And Brother Branham says, just as I was getting ready to pray, he says, Billy Paul leans up on his elbow in the bed and says, Daddy, don't you listen to them preachers. You listen to what God is telling you. That's what he says to his father. Just a little guy, but he knows enough to say that. And I said, Billy, pray with me. And along towards 3 o'clock in the morning, ... and that's when the angel comes into the room and so forth. And this is part of what he said. Go with them, but you'll pay for it. You're trapped. And Brother Branham received an enema. I'll remember what it is. But he said, in Lisbon, Portugal, he suffered in his stomach for that. But he said, you're trapped. So this is the angel now. He's in the room with Brother Branham. Billy Paul's asleep. And he says, you're trapped. And I'll give you permission to go with them and finish the journey. But he says, based on what Billy Paul says, wake up your boy. And he honored Billy Paul because Billy had told the truth. Now that's when Brother Branham takes the pillow, puts it over Billy Paul's face, just a little bit from his face. And he says, son, I want you to wake up. When I take the pillow away, the angel is standing over in the corner of the room and he wants to say something to you. And Billy Paul's waking up out of sleep like that. Brother Branham removes the pillow and there's the angel standing. Imagine. Huh. the angel's standing in the corner of the room. Then he goes into a whoosh and gone. He leaves. Now, the angel told Brother Branham, said, Billy said the right thing. He said, I'm going to bless him. Then he goes on and he tells him, he said, they'll want you to come and pray at a Sunday school. And he said, I want you to go. I will bless it. And Billy's going to come after you. And a man and a young fellow in a little black car, he's going to pick up another boy on the road. And on the road back, there's going to be a native. In other words, here's the detail. He's telling Brother Branham in detail what's going to happen tomorrow. And on the road back, there's going to be a native standing there by a eucalyptus tree near a bridge, fixing to strike another one. He's got a staff in his hand, and he's got a white safari suit on, and tell those men so that they'll know it's thus saith the Lord. So before you go out on a journey, tell the men what they're going to see. And they'll know that it's thus saith the Lord. They'll know that it's not you telling what's going to happen down the road, but I told you what's going on down the road. And Brother Bosworth, Brother Baxter, Brother Statscliffe, all of you here, thus saith the Lord, God told me to go ahead with you, but it's his permissive will, and it'll never be successful. Now, we don't really know what that means, it'll never be successful, because in that meeting, there were hundreds of thousands of people who were healed. And that's when the lightning went across the audience like this. The crooked lightning horizontally went across. And dogs that walked into the auditorium crippled walked out the other side healed. And this is when all of the ambulances full of crutches and wheelchairs and all kinds of devices were going through the streets. And the people were walking behind the ambulances singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and Only Believe. So I kind of look at that as successful. But in another place, Brother Branham says, God would have given me the whole country. Now, I don't know what that means, right? Because it never happened. Because he's operating in the permissive will of God. But I don't know whether that would have ended apartheid or whatever else. I mean, I don't know. But, he says, the angel told him, he said, you'll be walking in your permissive will, but it'll never be successful. Let me go on. And I said, he says, are there all black people here? And then he says, they turned my face here in front of me to Durban again, and there was beautiful white men. He's in a vision now. God's still dealing with him. He's in a vision. Beautiful white men and women standing with their hands in the air praising God. And he turned me back again and the great light started to go over the hills. And the angel drew near. And I heard him scream with a voice that shook me from the vision and said there'd be 300,000 of them in that meeting. Thus saith the Lord, mark it in your book. So God hasn't, now look, he's in the permissive will of God. God hasn't forsaken him. God's actually telling him play by play and telling him about the great miracles that are going to unfold here. And I come out of it, my Lord, my God, thanks be to you, and I appreciate the stripes and the whipping that you give me for disobeying you. But from this time on, Lord, knowingly, if I ever know again, if I ever get into a spot like this, I'll never tie myself up with a bunch of preachers and managers, no one else, but I'll be free to do what you say do. Now, here's a man who's wrestling, right? He's wrestling here because this is not easy. And I will go just where you say go and do just what you say for the rest of my life. And I will always try to do just as you say do. This is the scourging, the teaching, the adoption process of a prophet. And I seen my Bible rise off the table and come over to me like this. And it was turned over to the place where Paul said, you should have listened to me and have not loosed from Crete, but nevertheless, the angel of the Lord who stood by me and so forth. Imagine, now here, Brother Rams, you know how he lived, and you know he's in his room, and all of a sudden the Bible rises up, moves over, flips open to the book of Acts, and here's Paul, in the story here. My goodness. But remember now, he's not in the will of God, he's in the permissive will of God, and he's wrestling here, because the permissive will of God, here you go, the permissive will of God always has an element of judgment with it. The perfect will of God has an element of blessing with it, but the permissive will of God always has an element of judgment in it. Can I give you another example? Are we okay? Come down and curse the people, Balaam said. And I'll ask God. Well, Balak asked him, right? Balak asked him to come and curse God. And God said, don't you go. Don't go. But the next morning he went on and told the king, I'll make you a great man. So Balaam kept on. Balaam kept on, and God said, go on then. If you won't follow truth, there's original truth. You're only taking God's permissive will. God did tell him after he was so arrogant. Aha. Catch the words here. Look. We'll find out this later in the book of Jeremiah. Don't go to God and ask God a question if your mind's already made up. Okay? Because you're only going to find yourself pushing against God. And his problem here, he's got an arrogance. I can handle this. I can do this. But you know what? As a prophet, I got to go through the motions and ask God permission. God gives him the right answer. And God says, hey, buddy, your problem is not with Balak. Your problem is with arrogance. And I can't tell you anything. And I can't move you. You've got original truth. My goodness. Well, I better go on. So he just let him go on, hang himself. You got to get back to foundational truth. Oh, you say he's blessed us. I know that. And he told Balaam, you go ahead if you want to go. He said, you want to go your denominational route? Go on. Have at it, buddy. Again, Balaam had a gift of faith and could have used it to the perfect original word of God. He had a choice. Now look, you can't call a relationship a love relationship if there's no choice. So God gave us choice. He gave us free moral agency to choose. So he's not saying to Balaam, if you go outside that door, I'll slay you dead. He doesn't do that. He says to Brother Branham, you can go on your way. He says, but you're in the permissive will of God. In other words, he doesn't stop. And when he's up in Montana, up there in Helena, he doesn't say to Brother Branham, you can't do that. He says, if you do, this will happen. But he doesn't stop him. Because it's not a relationship of love if there's no choice. Am I making sense? Somebody say something here. It's got to be choice. Right? Because if there's no choice, then it's not really going to be based on love. It's based on duty or obedience. And that's not how you have a marriage, right? God blesses them anyhow, permissive will of God, but for popularity, pleasure, personal gain, sold their birthright like Esau did, sold out to an organization, they sell their birthright, women professing the Holy Ghost, wearing shorts, men permitting them in the pulpit, bobbed hair, women in the pulpits, paint on their face and so forth. Yet, he permits your will. He permits a permissive will, knowing what's in your heart. Well, Brother Branham, I do so and so, and it don't bother me, and God blesses me every day, and I sing in the Spirit and dance in the Spirit. And Brother Branham says, hey, he'll permit it. He'll permit it. Look, he never took Elvis Presley's gift away because Elvis Presley sang in bars instead of churches. Right? Go ahead. Brother Branham said, God says go ahead. But what are you going to do? Well, I wear shorts and I do this. Don't bother me. And I know my faith is in Christ, not in what I wear. God hates the sin, not the sinner. The Bible said there's something to it. What will you do? You'll make a stumbling block like Balaam did. All right, stop. When Balaam made the choice that he did, it affected a whole bunch of other people because he's a prophet. And Brother Branham's saying very carefully here, and he's talking to preachers in this sermon, and you know, this whole sermon is filled with this, does God ever change his mind about his word? Whole lot of really good advice here for ministers. But if a minister takes this adopted position where he allows, you know, women to wear shorts, women preachers, women cutting their hair and so forth, it's going to affect a whole lot of people because not only do you have the people in the congregation, but you got another generation that's coming up behind them and then another generation that's coming up. And now we stream, right? So it's out there. So if I said something like that now, it'd be all over the cosmos here. It'd be all over the world because we're so interconnected here. So we can make a decision and it has the effect on others besides just us. And you'll make a stumbling block like Balaam did and before everyone the other women. And what'll you do with your young girls? You got a bunch of Rakettas and so forth and painted up Jezebels. So we find, you know, there's lots of different examples here. And, you know, there's lots of ways where Brother Branham describes this. Again, if the people don't walk in his perfect will, he does have a permissive will. He'll let you walk in. But notice he permits it. But he will make it work out for his glory in his perfect will. Now, here's something that's really interesting about this permissive will. Is that when Balaam knows it's not God's will, but he's out here on a limb. He still has, listen to me, he still has an opportunity to turn around and go back. God says, no, no, you're going to go, but you're only going to say the words I put in your mouth. So God's going to take that and he's going to use it as a blessing to Israel, which he did. And if you read Balaam's curses, so-called curses, they're some of the nicest words that were ever said about Israel, right? So being a prophet, God took the words, put them in his mouth, and he's saying things that turn it into a blessing. But only God can do that. So what you find is that here's Brother Branham in South Africa, and he wants out of that situation, and God doesn't say, look, I'll have somebody in South Africa write you a check, and you just get on the plane and go home. God doesn't do that. He says, you go here, go there. And he doesn't retract his steps. He doesn't trace it backwards. But he says, no, I want you to go on. And I'm going to do this in South Africa. I'm going to, you know, see the this situation here and all the 200, 300,000 people here in the meeting. And God's going to, excuse me, God's going to use it as a blessing. But not the way that he originally intended. And God's going to do this. So therefore, it's a pretty important thing. It's a pretty important thing to know exactly what's going on here. Now, here's another example here. And I just wanted to go through some of these examples. That's all I wanted to do here tonight. And you remember in Numbers chapter 20, and begins at verse 7, you can follow down through it here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation the beast to drink. How many times was he supposed to strike the rock? How many times was he supposed to strike the rock? Once. But when he strikes the rock, it doesn't happen the way that Moses thought. Verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together. Because how many times was Christ smitten on Calvary's cross? Once. So the smiting of the rock was a type of Christ being smitten on the cross. Not twice. He didn't have to die twice. He only had to die once. And so Moses, verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock twice and the water came out abundantly. It's amazing. The water comes out anyway. And the congregation drank and the beast drank. And the Lord spake unto Moses, because ye believe me not. Because ye believe me not. So God never changed his mind. But he's a good God. He'll give you the desires of your heart, though it be against his will. And God told Moses, you go down there and speak to that rock. And Moses went down there in his anger, picked up the rod. You rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock, and smote the rock. Water didn't come. He smote it again and it came, and it was against God's will. Christ was only smitten once and it broke the whole plan. But God gave him his permissive will. So God didn't incinerate Moses as he wound up the second time he was going to strike the rock. God doesn't send fire down from heaven. Because you know why? He's got a choice. And if there's no choice, it's not a love relationship. And here's Brother Branham in the last paragraph. You can lay hands on the sick and they can recover, and you can prophesy, speak with tongues. But the thing is, keep his original word. So my advice to you, if you're a young person in the message, or you know, you're starting out and you got plans in front of you and you got options in front of you, which a lot of you do, one of the most important things that you need to find out is not necessarily, am I going to be a plumber or an electrician? And by the way, we need both. What you're going to try to practice more thoroughly is getting into the Spirit to find the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do now? I'm not asking you for the rest of my life, because I know that's probably going to fluctuate. But I'm asking you, Lord, what do you want me to do now? I've got a decision ahead of me. I got a fork in the road. I got a, you know, an issue here, and I want to be sensitive and found in the will of God, because I want that blessing, and I don't want to have a backhanded blessing. I don't want to have something that's secondary. I want to have the real thing. And like I said before many times, you don't want to be climbing up the ladder and finding out it's leaning against the wrong wall. You want to be climbing up the ladder and going to the right place, moving in the right direction, because climbing the ladder is not easy. But Brother Branham assures us, and here's adoption, God's will is a mystery, and each man has to seek out the will of God for his or herself, God's mystery. How do we find out? Paul, it was known to him. He didn't confer with any man, no flesh and blood. He had nothing to do with it. So Taylor Swift is not going to sing about it. You're not going to be able to Google it. Brother Barry's not going to tell you it. You're going to have to probably get on your knees and get alone with God. And commune with Him in the way that Paul did. Because this is not coming down the pipe of flesh and blood. It was revealed to him by Jesus Christ, who met him on the road to Damascus. So here was Brother Branham's prayer. Here's a prophet. He said, God, will in me thy will to do. God, will in me thy will to do. Create in me a greater hunger. Create in me and this church, your body. Create in us a spirit of real sons and daughters. Make us real, Lord. Make us real. We love you. Give us your spirit. Because we know when your spirit comes around, good things happen. We know that when your spirit comes around, healing takes place. We know that when your spirit comes around, you give interpretation of things. We know when your spirit comes around, he's going to tie us back. He's going to bring us back to the word every time. Musicians, slip up here if you don't mind. Don't move. Don't anybody else move here. When the Holy Spirit comes around, there's a peace that he brings. When the Holy Spirit comes around, there is a joy. There's a peace. There's kind of a consolation that you have that nothing else will give it to you. When you're looking at life not through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, there can be nothing but trouble on the horizon. This is not going right and that's not going right. I got a bill due. I got a teenager that won't listen. I got a body that won't cooperate. I got, a problem here with my boss, and I got another. And these are all very real things that we go through. When we think outside of the spirit realm, naturally we see those things. But I will tell you this, that what Brother Branham is praying here is that what every one of us need to pray, we need to kind of take this down and maybe pray this every morning. God, will in me thy will to do. So when somebody comes to me and speaks unkindly to me, or somebody's critical to me, or the bank sends me a note, or you get a bill that you weren't expecting, and, that happens, or the unexpected takes place, it puts you in a difficult spot. We ought to pray, God, will in me thy will to do. And create in me a greater hunger for the things of God. Create in me in this church, your body, create in us a spirit of real sons and daughters of God. Make us real. Make us real. Make us real soldiers. Make us real Christians. Make us real believers. Make us real solid. Make us, Lord, keep going forward and not backward. Make us real overcomers. Because we may have wrestled with this thing for a long time, but Lord, I know that you and I can conquer anything that lays in our path. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We love you, Lord. He says, give us your spirit. Let's stand to our feet. I love you, Lord, and I lift your voice. What are you playing there, sister? I want to do thy will, O Lord. All right, let's sing that. Ready? I want to do thy will, O Lord. Again. I want to do thy will, O Lord. All right, let's bring her down there where mere mortals can sing. I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will. I want to do again now?
I want to do thy will. I want to do thy will. Make me, break me.
Make me, I want to do thy will.
What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea and greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever?
Sing that chorus again now.
Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and crown Christ? Bless you.
Sometimes, Lord Jesus, we would find ourselves in a position where we're wrestling in things, Lord, that maybe we thought this is the way it should be. And Lord, I just pray that every one of us would just step back just a little bit. And Lord, may we pursue with a passion the will of God and the mind of God in all things, Lord. And sometimes in order to do that, we have to let go of our thinking and our way of looking at things. Because Lord, it's always better. It's always a blessing to be in the perfect will of God. And Lord, from these examples that we've read about and these experiences, Lord, that your prophets and your people have had, Lord, we realize that sometimes it's a very subtle thing how the enemy would try to divert us, Lord, in one way or another. So, Lord, I pray you'd make us sensitive. And like your prophet said, Lord, in that prayer, put in us a will to do thy will. Make us real, real Christians. And Lord, I pray that you'd have us all just to learn to wait upon you. And Lord, being young with many decisions that lay ahead of us and choices, Lord, sometimes that can affect us for years later. Every one of us, Lord, wants to be right, to do right, to arrive the right place, to help us, Lord, right where we are. I pray, dear God, you'd minister to those who are not well tonight, those who are struggling, Lord, in body and in mind. I pray, dear God, that you would be merciful. And Lord, you know your people. You know what we have need of. You know the very desires that they have, Lord. And I just commit them into your care now. Because we believe you to be a great physician and one who cares about everything we experience. We just want to say we love you, Lord. Bless the balance of our week. We place it all into your hands now. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. God bless you, saints, tonight. Thank you for coming. And let's sing that little chorus as we go tonight. In Jesus' name we press on. And God bless you all. Great. God bless you, the drums being here, and all of you tonight taking time out of your week and coming. And I just trust that God will. God has given you a little something you can chew on the way home tonight.
I press on.